You're listening to a chapel service recorded at Asbury Theological Seminary in Orlando, Florida. For more information, visit asburyseminary.edu.
My apologies to all you consultants. Secondly, you want to get paid for telling me what I already know. And third, you don't know beans about my business because you just took my dog. Isn't that a great story? It's a good lead-in for what I want to share with you today, and that is that for 25 years of my ministry, I was probably a consultant. Any of you consultants in your churches? All that changed in my defining moment. I've gone to Asbury. And then I went to Princeton. So I knew a lot of stuff. And I preached these great sermons on 8 Keys to Happiness. Or all these things, you know. But you've probably done it too. And then 2 years ago, August 13th, we got the call that you as pastors get. Only it had our name on it. And some of you know about this. You prayed for our daughter. But we got the call at 5:45 in the afternoon. We'd just come back from three of the most glorious weeks in the world in Colorado. The chaplain of Daytona said, your daughter's been in an accident, and it's serious, and you need to come. And so Jan and I jumped in the car and goes to Daytona. Our daughter had been married 1 year and 2 months prior to that. She was on her way home from school, and there was a new light on International Drive, so you have an idea how fast people were driving. And the person didn't see the light. And plowed right into our daughter's driver's side. And when we got there, they were wheeling her down. She'd broken two cracks in her pelvis, a broken leg, collapsed lung, broken collarbone, and a brain injury. And we didn't know the extent. She was in a coma. We found out later she was a coma 3. I don't know if any of you know what that means. Comas go from 15 to 3. 3 is the worst. A therapist later said an empty bed is a coma 3. You're essentially dead. We didn't know that at the time. The nurses, we were in the waiting room, the nurses kept saying, could we speak to Mr. Kaufman? She married Eric Kaufman. And I said, what do you mean, Mr. Kaufman? I'm her father. He's only known her 1 year and 2 months. I'm her father. You want Mr. Johnson. Get that straight. Yeah. But they kept asking for him. And then finally she came back to this intensive care unit there, and this one of the best trauma centers because of 95 and International Speedway. I don't know if you've ever been in that situation. You live and die with the numbers. If they go above a certain number, it's bad. But it never got there. They said, wait 72 hours. We waited 72 hours. And they said, she's on the respirator, and she's not breathing on her own. At any rate, I won't go into all those details, but eventually there were tiny slits in her eyes, and we began to look for a rehabilitation center. And they mentioned 2, Brooks in Jacksonville and 1 in Atlanta. We called Shepherd Center in Atlanta. They said, if you could come up with $30,000, we'll talk to you. And we have insurance. What about people who don't have insurance? That was sort of my first awakening. And I live in Gainesville, and we had the whole Shands University of Florida community connection. But you get on the phone and they say, if you get $30,000, we'll talk to you. So, anyway, we ended up with taking her to Brooks Rehab in Jacksonville. And if you know any physical therapists or occupational therapists, give them a hug. They're the most wonderful people. And we spent hours and days stretching Siobhan's limbs and massaging her. Her eyes began to open. She couldn't open her mouth. We began reading healing scriptures to her, weeping, holding one another, seeking to breathe life and back into our little girl. This is in the middle of August. I forget when she said her first words. I was sure it would be Dad, but it was Eric. At any rate, she was able to eat for the first time in mid-November. She came home in December. She's been in therapy actually ever since then as an outpatient, Daytona, now in Gainesville. She's our hero. Eric, her husband, has been so solid through this. You know, when you take those vows for better or for... Nobody knows. Nobody's ready. Jan took a year off from her teaching and nurtured life and health back. And I wish I could say I was strong, but I could barely function. I was my girl. I didn't go to church, didn't come back for about, almost 2 months. I did come back after 9/11 and preached on the text that you read for scripture today, the Psalm 46. There's a river that makes glad the city of God. But I learned some things, eight things that I want to share with you today that came out of that. First of all, the church doesn't need consultants. We need pastors. And I know there's the move, and I understand that we don't want, it's not a chaplain, we don't want chaplains. I understand that. You want people who are going to grow the church, and that's good. But I needed a pastor. and then I've made some mistakes in my ministry. Because I'd read the books. When you get to the big church, you don't have time to go to the hospital, so don't go to the hospital. Well, not many of us are going to serve a church of 10,000 people. And you're probably not there right now. So don't pretend you are. I made a mistake. And then, because this one young woman who's dying of cancer, several people on our staff are really loving her and taking her back. And so I said, okay, but I'm the pastor, and you have a representative role. And it was painful for that family. I'll not make that mistake again. So, unless God leads you differently, you're the pastor. You know a lot of theology, you know a lot of good stuff. You probably learn how to grow a big church, but take care of your people. Second thing is, the body of Christ is more awesome than I ever imagined it could be. The reason I went back on September 15th was I wanted to do for the church what they did for me and just put my arms around them the way they put their arms around me. And I know there are times when you get frustrated or will get frustrated with the folks in your congregation, but they are the body of Christ. Just love them. Love them, love them, love them. They are. And when the chips are down, it's like family. You know, you can quarrel and fight and have all that stuff going on. But when the chips are down, you're there for each other. Each other, the body of Christ. One of my friends, Will Furlong, we do Alpha. Been great in our church. Great to have place where seekers can really go and get that kind of stuff. But he said, you know, what Alpha did for me, it helped me stop swatting at the gnats. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I was reading a book by John Maxwell. And what Maxwell says, he's driving down the road and he's a guy in the car with him, but Maxwell's driving to keep swatting this gnat they got in the car. And the guy said, if you don't stop trying to swat that gnat, you're going to kill us. You're going to drive us off the road. And he said, that's what I was doing in the church. There were two or three people that drive me crazy, and I was swatting the gnats. Alpha, he said, helped me see, gee, there's so many people who want to grow in Christ. I'm going to nurture them, the body of Christ. Second thing is, you know this, but I knew it, and I knew it. I knew it, but I knew it a different way. After Siobhan's accident, prayer is powerful. It transcends human words. It built a bridge from our congregation and people around the world and through the internet. It built a bridge of love and strength that enabled us to do more than we could do, and we believe is a big part of Siobhan's healing. Enormous. And I've never been casual when somebody asked me to pray for them, but I'm really dead serious now when somebody asked me to pray for them. Never take that casually, but that's really important. And thank God for the internet, which extended the circle of prayer by thousands, as you know. Third thing I learned is, for most of us, our real heroes are not Time's Person of the Year or whoever's the latest sports hero, Tiger Woods or anything. The real heroes are people sitting next to you or the people in your church. For us, it was Lolly, the nurse who appeared on the scene just a second after the accident, just happened to be taking off work that day, was visiting her mother, and came on the scene and gave a mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. Or Lisa and Jennifer, who are the most wonderful therapists. And I learned something from watching these physical therapists and occupational therapists that has really affected my ministry. I wish you could experience it too, because what they did, they keyed into Siobhan. I mean, they keyed into her. Even when Siobhan was sort of glazed over, I remember they were passing a mirror to see if there's any response. They never were condescending. Never. And they never were judgmental of her limitations. They were right there. They honored her for where she was, and they didn't engage her therapy at a place where she wasn't. Engaged her therapy for right where she was. I thought, wow, that's what we are called to do. It's hard as heck because you've got places, people in all different places in your church, but you've got to key in to where each person is with honor and integrity. The next thing I learned was that faith is a mixed reality. If you didn't have faith, you wouldn't have to worry about the questions of why did God let this happen. But if you do have faith, you can't escape that question. And we couldn't. I remember the day Siobhan couldn't yet speak and she kept pointing up. I thought she was pointing up to the vent. I thought, air conditioning, what are you saying? And then it realized through her eyes or whatever she was asking, pointing to God. And my little girl was asking me the question that I'd answer at Princeton or dealt with at Princeton in a philosophical way, and I'd answer it from the pulpit. But golly, it was different when our girl was saying, why did God let this happen? Why couldn't it have been a nanosecond one way or the other? It's just hit the front of the car, the back of the car, but the right where I was sitting. And I didn't have the answer for her. You may. If you do, you're better than Job and all the greatest people who've ever written. You know, we said things like, you know, God gives free choice and people make mistakes, and that's an answer. It's true. It's not enough. It's not adequate because we who believe in miracles know that sometimes God performs miracles. And I said, I don't know. I just know God loves us. Loves you just as much as I do and more, and I don't know the answer. But you see, faith creates, it holds us together, but it also creates a dilemma, or at least it did for me. But that's okay, because as we were saying today at lunch, Steve, it's a mystery. It's just a mystery. The only thing we know is that God loves us, and we don't know the rest of it. Or I don't know that. And Siobhan's life verse was in her wedding. It was on a brick in the front of our church. I had it done with Jeremiah 29:11. You know, I know the plans I have for you, and they're for good and not for evil. And, you know, when she got a little further along, she would read some of the Psalms that promised God's protection. But that's real. I mean, that's real. And the truth is that God is faithful. You know, we would like to go with Kushner, who says that either God is all-powerful or God's all-loving, but he can't be both. And the Christian church has never taken that direction, said both of them are true somehow. And we've got to hold them to attention. But we don't do it glibly. The sixth thing I learned is that people who spiritualize too quickly and too easily really drive me crazy. I didn't want people to rush to bring spiritual closure for me. You can't bring spiritual closure for somebody else. In time, I would work through things, just give me space and love. I warned the congregation from the pulpit, I don't for one second believe this accident was God's will, so don't even think about telling me that it was. So I kind of cleared the deck for that. If they believed that, they could believe it, but don't lay that on me. And our role is tough because there are times when we need to give answers, there are times we need to just shut up, you're not always sure when to do that, right? But don't rush it too quickly. Job's friends were great until they stopped being quiet. They were. Seven chapters. They were really good. Seventh, when in doubt, go. As a pastor, when in doubt, go. I've erred on that. I've told you that. A year later, one of our members of our staff, their daughter was in Raleigh, North Carolina, in a serious accident. The other person was killed. The parents called me. I flew up to be with them. I wouldn't have done that. All the rest of my ministry, I wouldn't have done it. That's not how I was wired. I would have been to producing and growing and all those things you learn about. So I went, and it's the best thing I did. It's good. This experience has taught me that any expression of love is welcome. Any expression of love is welcome. The notes, we couldn't respond to them all the time. We couldn't receive a lot of people. But just knowing they care meant so much. When in doubt, go. I think the last thing I've learned that many of us aren't sure what to do with people who are different than we are. I'm embarrassed to share with you or to even remember what it was like when we went after 2 weeks, Shabbat being in a coma and now getting ready to go to Brooks Rehab in Jacksonville. When we went in, I was really uncomfortable with wheelchairs, people with halos, people who look different. I'm not proud of that. I feel differently now. If you don't have an accessibility Sunday once a year, you ought to. I can give you the web page, the material. That we are intentional embracing all of God's children with God's grace and love. This whole experience, it seems to be, got me to clarity. Actually, now, 2 years afterwards, life is just a lot clearer. I don't know, tragedy, adversity, what do they say, if it doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger. It can clear away the cobwebs. Somebody came to me a few weeks ago who wanted to complain about a staff member, and I listened really well, and I sort of said under my breath, you can complain and gripe as much as you want, but my daughter almost died. This really isn't going to bother me. You know what I mean? It just gives you perspective, which you lose in the ministry. 120 people come out of church on Sunday and they think your sermon is great. One person. And you lose perspective real quick. But to me, what this did for me was it taught me what the heart of the gospel is, the essence of the Christian message. And that is that God, it's not revolutionary, but it's different now. It's that God is with us. God is not distant. God isn't somebody that we have to go through an eightfold path to get to, or any of the other ways, but that God in Christ comes alongside us. That to me is the essence of the gospel. For me, that God in Christ is right with us and has been on this journey with Siobhan and us, even though we can't explain everything. But that's, when the smoke clears, that's what it's really all about. As I wrote in a publication, not great theological wisdom, although you gotta do it. You gotta have that. Not someone who knows all the great laws of leadership. It's just someone who will come alongside us in love. And you and I incarnate that to some degree, as best we can as pastors. But it points to the Christ, the Son of God, who comes alongside of us. That's, to me, the essence. And that's why I think Christianity is what it's all about. I hope I'm not too indulgent in my family situation, but I want to show you a video that Channel 2 News here in town did on our daughter. Not sure why they picked the story up. I guess they had the Volusia County thing, and somebody, and our daughter and son-in-law were both teachers in high school, and it was a big news story, I think. And then 2 years afterwards, on the second anniversary, they came to our house in Gainesville. Our son-in-law moved to, and our daughter moved to Gainesville so he could do a PhD in agriculture. And we decided to all four live together. It's working out really well. Although I told Steve in the car, whenever they or we go away for the weekend, the others who stay there really like it. This is a 3-minute news clip, and I want to say a couple words about it at the end, but this is our daughter, Siobhan Ruth Kaufman. Just the greatest person in the world.
They were the perfect couple. 2 years ago, an accident changed their lives. She said he could leave, but he didn't.
Part of me believes and hopes that it will get easier.
Coming up, why he stayed, an amazing story of love, faith, and devotion.
2 years ago today, we reported on a horrible accident in DeLand involving a high school teacher.
Tonight, we're looking at how that accident dramatically changed life for a young couple. News Channel 2's Shannon Horry reports, the former educator is still teaching a great lesson outside the classroom.
Everything is a struggle for Siobhan Kaufman. Nothing is easy.
You can call me on my cell phone if you want. Thank you. Bye.
It wasn't always this way. A beautiful young wife with dreams of traveling and children. 2 years ago, it all changed. It was the first day of school. Siobhan had just left DeLand High School where she taught special needs students. She was pulling out at this intersection right here when another driver says she didn't know that this light had just been put up. Even though it was red, she plowed right through, slamming into Siobhan.
Keep those feet apart a little bit more if you can.
She now dreams of walking.
Yeah, try to make them smaller.
She's different now, but the determined spirit Eric fell in love with is still there.
Think we can do one arm and one leg at the same time? Think you're ready for that?
I'll try.
Okay.
I know that it's difficult now, and I guess part of me believes and hopes that it will get easier. It's difficult to accept that she needs me a lot, and I can't just go and do things on my own.
Eric quit his teaching job at DeLand High School. A few months ago, they moved to Gainesville, where he's getting his master's, and they live with Siobhan's parents.
Hi, Siobhan. Have a good day.
They say her sense of humor is back.
What are you wearing?
My sandals.
No socks.
The daughter of a Methodist minister says she doesn't ask why anymore because there's no answer.
And so you're accepting more, it sounds like?
I'm trying to.
How do you do that?
I don't know. If you figure it out, let me know.
What they have figured out
is keeping the promise they made 3 years ago.
People will say, you know, I don't know how I could do it if I was in your situation. I don't think that I could.
And as much as Siobhan needs Eric,
thank you.
You're welcome.
She told him he can leave. He said no.
Okay. When things aren't going smoothly and not just the way you want them, it doesn't mean that it's okay to just give up because it's hard. And I know everyone has their own struggles. Everyone has difficult things to deal with. I guess this is ours, although at times it seems harder than most people's.
Oh, where has my little dog gone? Oh, where can he be?
Siobhan loves being with her nephew. And she can still have children. They say in time they will.
And sing up, be a good mom.
For now, they're taking it step by step.
What a terrific story of faith and hope and love.
And love especially, strongest bond of all.
Siobhan did suffer brain injuries in that accident. Obviously, it affected her speech and her motor skills, which she's working on.
And she's now in therapy 3 times a week and says she's improving. And the most encouraging thing is they're both still smiling.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we want to talk about...
She's our hero. She's doing really well. She's taking horse therapy too, Monday a week, and just a lot of fun, neat to be around. And mind and memory, I think you could tell, are really, really good. And they're doing so much with therapy now, and the rechanneling for her brain. We're just kind of in this for the long haul. Why don't we pray together? God, we do thank you for the body of Christ and that you came down and dwelt among us and are right alongside of us as much as more than you were when you walked with Peter, James, and John, and that you're there for every need, and that you look pain and hurt and struggle in the face and embrace it, and in so doing, embrace us, enable us with integrity to embrace a hurting world. Bless these pastors and pastors-to-be as they do that for their church and their world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.